Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Kim. I'd just like to pray first and ask God to bless this message. I got a bit of a sore throat this morning, so it's kind of scratchy. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we just give you thanks again, Lord God, and I just praise you for who you are, Lord God, and you're always with us, Lord God. I know that you want the best for each one of us, Lord God. I pray this message that I have this morning, Lord God, will bless people here, Lord God, and that they would understand what is meant by it also, Lord God. I pray you anoint the words that I speak, Lord, and just open the ears and the hearts, Lord, that they'd be receptive to your word also, Lord God. I give you praise for what you already done and what you're going to do in all our lives, Lord. Amen. It's been quite a while since I actually preached here. We used to pastor a church in the past, but it's been quite a while, so I'm kind of rusty at it. You have to put up with me a little bit. The message that I have this morning to you is a message that I've struggled with. I battled with God for quite a while, actually, and I was up through the night sometimes, and God was trying to reveal certain things that I should mention a lot of times. It's not an easy message by any means. It's quite a difficult message. In my work, it seemed to be a lot easier because, you know, I used to counsel people that had addictions and all that are bad habits. But in a setting like this, it's a lot different also. It shouldn't be, but it feels like it. I know that God wants me to have this message. I think you know, it's all important for us to really understand what God wants us to hear in a lot of different areas of our lives, even in the secret sins that we all have sometimes, or maybe some of us do have. I don't know if all of you do, but I know I've struggled with it in the past too, and I admit sometimes it's a lot hard, quite hard also. But I know that with God, everything is possible. All things are possible with God, and so I trust God that, you know, this message will be felt in your heart also, and you can open your ears to it. Before I start with the scripture verse that I've used also besides Romans that Pastor Kim has just read, I'd like to tell you a story of, this is a story that's shared in Alcoholics Anonymous. And they define an addict or what is an addiction also. It's kind of a little interesting story. It's kind of a humorous in a way. It talks about a social drinker, a problem drinker, and an alcoholic who walked into a bar. And they were all friends. They each ordered a beer. Now the bartender brings this beer over, and they all have a golden color with foamy heads. Almost at the same time, a fly lands on the head of each one of the beers. The social drinker looks at the fly and pushes the beer away. The problem drinker looks at the fly, kind of inches his way over there, and flicks the fly off the foam and drinks his beer. The alcoholic slowly inches his way in there, grabs the fly and says, "Spit it out, spit it out." Can you picture that? That kind of defines it, doesn't it? I don't know, maybe you've heard this story before, if you've attended AA or maybe read in different books about it. I found it quite humorous anyways. If you have your Bibles this morning, just turn with me to 2 Peter Second Peter chapter 2 verses 18 to 20. I'll give you time to turn to it if you want to before I start reading. Now this is something that Peter was sharing to the people at that time that needed to get some direction in their life. There were some false teachers at the time that were trying to tempt them in different ways. And this is where it starts in verse 18. He's explained that at the beginning, but I'm reading from verses 18, 19, and 20, just to give you an idea of what I want to talk about, is breaking free from controlling habits, or addictions, as you might say also. And I'll start from verse 18. It says, "They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boastings, with lustful desire as their bait. They lure back into sin those who have escaped from such wicked living. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves to sin and corruption." And this is the verse that I really want to uphold here in my message, one of them. It says, "For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from the wicked ways of the world by learning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up with this sin and become its slave again, they are worse off than before." It's quite interesting, isn't it? You know, where we become a slave to different things. You know, you hear that message and you often think, you know, it's for people that really have bad addictions sometimes. But, you know, 2 Peter goes on much further than that. And most of us need to break free from something that controls us or even enslaves us. The Apostle Peter says, "You are a slave to whatever controls you." It can be hard for one to know the freedom of being in God's presence as long as one remains enslaved to something. You know, that could be a roadblock to the way you should worship and praise God and the way you should, you know, just be so grateful for God. It can hold you back. You know, so important to be able to praise and offer, you know, to worship and offer our praise to God from our whole being, from our heart, from our mind, and from our spirits. You know, there's so many things that someone can become a slave to. I'll just list a few of them just to make you aware what that can be. You know, some people are a slave to work, to shopping. Some are a slave to jealousy, gossip, worry, fears, or anger. Some are slaves to gambling, alcohol and drugs, sex or pornography, and many other things that hold us in bondage. The list could go on and on. How do we know whether we have a controlling habit in our lives and this habit needs to be broken? And that comes to the first point that I have in the back of the bulletin if you want to follow. You know, first I'll define certain words. The first one I'd like to define is a controlling habit. Now, a controlling habit is something you find yourself doing even though it is destructive, and it's destructive also physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually. Your whole being is affected by it. Or even that you constantly do something you wish you wouldn't do, but you find yourself doing it anyway. You know, a good example of this is the Apostle Paul, who fully understood this very dilemma, even though he had good intentions. You know, Pastor Kim just read the verse in Romans 7, 14 to 24, and it shows how he struggled over a sin that he had in his life, something that was holding him back, and he wanted to get rid of it, and he knew the solution to it too. You know, even in the ways, you know, in what ways have you struggled like Paul struggled also? That's a question that we should ask, you know. And, you know, even many good people can be bound by habits or addictions. Doesn't mean say that you're a bad person when you do have an addiction. It's just that sometimes it holds us back from really, you know, being the person that we really are, a good person that God loves. I found another definition of addiction or habit, and I found this quite interesting, actually. It really hit home when I read this. You know, some definitions define addiction as something that goes deeper than obsession or compulsion. You know, they say that addiction has to have an obsession where you think about it constantly, and a compulsion where you crave or you have such a strong urge for it, you can't stay away from it, from whatever is bothering you, whether it's substance or behavior. But this definition adds another component to it. It says it is worship also. Just think of that. What does that really mean? It's giving my soul and heart over to something that we believe will ease my pain and provide an outlet for my fury at being out of control in a world that hurts me, scares me, or leaves me feeling alone. That's a strong definition. If you think about it, it takes in pretty well everything. I found this interesting also. And the word addiction is from the Latin word addictus. I think I'm pronouncing it right, addictus, A-D-D-I-C-T-U-S, which means, and it's interesting, to surrender to the gods. That's what it really means. You know, we do need help, but there could be some blocks, some obstacles in receiving that help. First thing is, some of us reason in our minds, if I admit I have a habit, then I'm less than spiritual. How will people look at me? You know, we're scared at what people think of us a lot of times. That can be a block, a roadblock. It becomes so secretive within us, nobody else really wants to know about it. Another one is denial, and that's a strong one. In recovery, that's the first thing we had to do when I counsel people is to break through the denial of different people. And, you know, we use a lot of different tools in doing that. You know, we talked to them, we carried on an assessment with them to find out what was really causing the denial. Denial is just a refusal to believe or accept that some painful reality in our lives. It is a defense mechanism that occurs without our being aware of it. Denial happens unconsciously. We don't really aren't aware of it. It protects us from feeling threatened when we have to face the truth about having a serious problem, such as a chemical dependency to alcohol or drugs or gambling, smoking, sex, or other types of things that might hold us back. So denial can be pretty powerful. Another reason could be pride. And this can really help keep us from asking what we need or admit our needs is pride a lot of times. And I'll give you an example just to give you an understanding how that can happen sometimes. You know, we may be grown up in a family where we were consistently ignored or disappointed. Perhaps our needs were seldom met. Some of us may have reacted by only depending upon ourselves to get our needs met. In fact, we began to make sure to never need anyone's help ever again. It is this type of pride, born of hurt, that will hold us back from asking God to help us deal with our weaknesses or our temptations a lot of times. And then there's self-pity also. That's a big one too. You know, the false sense of self-pity screens us from reality. Could be resentments. Could be a lot of other things that I could mention that hold a person back. But I think you get the idea, what can hold a person back from really reaching out for help. Now we need to be honest. Look at your life. Like the Apostle Paul, evaluate. That means look carefully, evaluate. The things you find yourself doing, you might hate. Just like Apostle Paul mentioned in those verses. Realize the importance of identification process, this identification process, how to identify, you know, what's holding you back. And then submit to your own inabilities to make necessary changes. Submitting is surrendering, giving up. We need to submit our own inabilities to make the necessary changes. And I found this quite interesting also. In a recent survey in a Christian magazine, some readers reported that their greatest spiritual challenge to obtaining God's healing power came from materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger, or bitterness, sexual lust, envy, gluttony, lying, just to name a few. Now, regardless of the controlling destructive habit or sin, none goes unnoticed with our holy God. You see, God sees our secret sins and destructive habits. In Psalm 139 and verses 1 to 3, we are reminded by David, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am." Then in Psalm 66, verses 18 to 20, we are warned by the writer, "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, my Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer and did not withdraw his unfailing love for me." Now, just think of that. You know how touching that is? You know? It's good to be able to do that. And that's how seriously God takes sin. And then life isn't easy to you with, you know, that devil, the enemy, having his part of it. He plays a part in it all the time. It makes it difficult for all in our lives. The desire of the devil is to seek to destroy and to deceive mankind. Like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, if you remember the story of Adam and Eve, he makes sin attractive. Of course, though, Satan never shows the tragic end of any sin or destructive habit in our lives. You know, one need not need to look long before we see the results of the power of sin or addictions in the lives of people. You know, it's premature deaths, broken dysfunctional homes, plus the loneliness and the heartache sin brings to the loved ones around us also, besides ourselves. Now, the Bible does say there is a pleasure in sin, but such pleasure is only for the moment. It doesn't last long. That's in Hebrews 11:25. The end result is not only pain, but separation from God on earth, then in eternity. Spending eternity in hell is the result of continuing in sin. And also God desires for us to confess and repent of sin, to turn away from sin. James 4:10 encourages us, "When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor." As many of us know from experience, the way of pride and selfishness only leads to confusion and conflict. The true contentment and serenity, peace that you want, comes only when we submit our life and destructive habits or addictions to God and humbly desire to seek and to do God's will. You know, humbly is quite an important word. You know, when we look at the 12 steps in our recovery program, the 12-step support group that we lead, we talk about humility quite a bit. And humility is simply defined, you know, not thinking of ourselves any lesser or any better than anybody else. It's the balance between the two. So we need to humbly desire and seek God to do his will. And the second point is, why are controlling habits or addictions so powerful? Why can't people, some people can't understand that. Why do people get stuck in that? They can't get away from it. First thing is they slowly bind you. It's so subtle. Life-controlling habits are formed at a pace almost unnoticeable. Often a person doesn't even know they have formed a habit or addiction in their life. It's so subtle. Addictions are like a cable. Each day we do something in a pattern. We intertwine one thread with another. As the threads are woven together, a cable is formed. On any day the threads are added, they were too small to be noticed. But after many threads have been woven together, guess what? We find that together they have become an unbreakable cable. So it is with addictions. You know, daily practices over time become addictions that are unbreakable. And to put it another way, also, bad habits or addictions are like a comfortable warm bed. So I don't know if you've noticed that, you know, comfortable bed, how easy it is to get into but hard to get out. Well, addictions are like that. Addictions are formed through willful behavior also. A person has given in so many times to this thing that they are now addicted. It's a choice they've made. This is the reason addiction is so powerful, because it becomes so subtle. Before long, you become a slave to it. As Paul mentioned, Peter mentioned also in the verses that I just read. Not only do they slowly bind, they break your will also. Remember, 2 Peter 2:19 says, "For you are a slave to whatever controls you." The addiction breaks you down to the point where you don't even try to resist, because you might feel like you can't break free. The addiction has a tight grip on you. You feel powerless. You feel trapped. It's so easy to lose hope at this time. Once an addiction has broken your will to fight, you feel a sense of hopelessness. At this point, the addiction itself owns you, because you have allowed it to own you. This is the power of a destructive addiction or bad habit. Addictions eventually destroy your life also. Addictions or bad habits will eventually destroy you and others along with you. One thing, once they are fully established, they become a stronghold. Now, what is a stronghold? We mentioned that many times. We even sing, the word is mentioned in some of the choruses that we sing. Strongholds are negative, destructive thought patterns tattooed on your mind. If allowed to develop, they can imprison a person for life. It mentions that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Strongholds can control the way you think, the way you act, and the way what you speak also. And they destroy you in this, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. Just think about it. You know, how many marriages have been lost by controlling addictions? How many families have been divided because of controlling addictions? How many jobs lost? How many relationships broken? How many minds have been wasted? How many diseases also caused by them? That sounds so horrible, doesn't it, just to think about that? But now we come to point number three, where, you know, we can learn how to be loose or set free from such things that control us. I've read someplace, and I'll just read it to you, that to get into a recovery, first a person needs to understand this, that the recovery includes being honest about the past hurts so they can be healed. You've got to become honest. Gaining insights about destructive patterns of behavior so they can be changed. You got to know what's going on within you. You got to get some information about it. And then developing trust in God as the source of wisdom and strength. And then finding hope to replace shame and despair. And that's so important. Those things can hold a person back, you know, a lot of times the shame and guilt and the despair caused by it. All the losses cause grief for a person. It's like a grieving process. Through this process, a person can be recreated to live the way God intended. We must understand what God's word says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God lets us know that in every situation, with every temptation, he provides victory. That's so important. Knowing victory includes first to admit and accept you have a problem. That's surrender. In the A program or NA program, you hear that slogan quite often, let go and let God. And what does that really mean? That's surrendering. Admitting and accepting you have a problem. We have to start with confession. Healing starts with confession and forgiving others and ourselves and accepting God's forgiveness. Ask God to help you, you know, to forgive for past hurts and abuses. Seek inner healing for your past. God will heal also. Secondly, depend on God's healing power to combat destructive addictions. Those addictions are so powerful, as we mentioned before. Isaiah examples how God is always there helping us. It reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." What a promise that is, isn't it? God must be our primary source of strength. We need to start our days off with God, and He will help us through the day to overcome and show us a way out. The more we allow God to be a part of our lives, the more we will see Him working in changing our lives, as surrendering. And surrender is not just a little bit, it's surrendering all to God, not just portions of it, just the ones that you want to surrender. God knows everything. He knows our secrets, so why hang on to them? You know, we're only hurting ourselves by hanging on to it and hurting other people. So we need to surrender all those things. We've got to depend on God's healing power to combat those destructive addictions or habits. And destructive habits must be replaced by good ones also. We need to do something about it. Now in Numbers 33, verses 50 to 56, God told Moses that before the Israelites settled in the Promised Land, they had to drive out the wicked inhabitants and destroy their idols. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul encourages us to live as Christians in the same manner, throwing away our old ways of living and moving ahead into our new life of obedience to God and faith in Jesus Christ. Like the Israelites moving into the Promised Land, we can destroy the wickedness in our life, or we can settle down and live with it. It's a choice we all have. To move in and possess the new life, we must drive out the sinful thoughts and practices to make room for the new ones. Romans 12:2 encourages us to renew our minds, and this is a process that takes place. We encourage that in the 12 steps, you know, where you got to renew your mind, you know. God wants to change us from the inside out as we are changed on the inside. We will begin to evidence changes in our external attitudes and our actions as a result. But it takes spending time with God, you know, spending time in His Word and prayer and even Christian fellowship. That's so important. As we yield our life and will to God, we can depend on Him to renew our mind and our heart also. Number four is to find support from others also and be accountable to someone. That's so important. The Bible tells us that we need to bear one another's burdens. Participate in a 12-step group also. That's so important to get that kind of support. You know, we run a 12-step group here every Monday night, as it was shared in the bulletin and in the PowerPoint. And we have a good core of people attending that 12-step group where we can encourage each other and, you know, everything is shared and we know that it's going to stay there. It's very confidential. There's a feeling of trust that develops. And that's so important in participating in the 12-step group, to be able to share the things that you need to share in your own life to release those hurts, the pain that you're going through, or whatever's holding you back from really, really, you know, living a life for God. It's also important, and the 6 points, is to take it one day at a time. Sometimes we try to rush things. We want recovery right away. And we need patience. You know, a lot of people get addicted to chemicals or other addictions or get into habits because they want instant gratification a lot of times. They want results right away. They want to do away with it. You can't stand it anymore. But take it one day at a time. Why? because God wants to give us enough strength to change for one day, not for the week or 1 month or the rest of your life, but one day at a time. As you develop that relationship with God, as you partner with Him, and you'll see the change happening in your life. When we get to trust Him and realize what He can do for us one day at a time, you can notice it. We need to concentrate on today and to make it the best of it. And that's even in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, where we're encouraged to take it one day at a time. And it's a process. It's one day at a time. You've got to take note for it. You know, whether you have a problem with a habit or addiction, you know, I hope this message has helped to clarify certain things. Maybe it's just for your own information. I don't know. Or maybe you're not too sure yet. Maybe there's a bit of denial sometimes. Or maybe there's certain other things that might hold you back. Maybe you feel, you know, there's self-pity or pride that can hold you back. It's good to, you know, pray those things through. I encourage you, you know, to look at it carefully, be honest, you know, and being able to evaluate your life and to look at it the way it is and to do something about it, not just to hold back and feel trapped and helpless. You know, God can do wonders in our lives, you know, and we shared communion this morning. You know, we're reminded of what Christ has done for each one of us. You know, how He died on the cross and rose again. He died for our sins, and He rose again so we can have victory over certain things that we have, even our secret things that we hold back a lot of times. It's good to be able to feel that freedom. And I know I'm work in progress also, you know. I've been affected in the past by a lot of different things also. In my childhood, I was affected by addictions. Well, my parents were addicted to alcohol. I've gone through the process myself, you know, where I had to overcome it. And I'm still working on it a lot of times. There's certain things that can be so tempting sometimes. We have to be strong in God. And I've worked with people, too, that struggled. And I've seen the effort they put in and the struggles they went through. They had good intentions, but it's hard sometimes without God. You know, God has to be there for us. It's impossible without God. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just give You thanks and praise, Lord God, for, you know, for what You want us to know, Lord God, and You want us to be truthful to You also, Lord, to depend on You for all these things. You want the best for each one of us, Lord God, also. You don't want us to struggle and to be held back by a lot of different things that hold us back from really, you know, walking the way You want us to walk down here, Lord God. And since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve, the first sin that came to the world, has been a struggle, Lord God. And we seem to be so stubborn sometimes, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that You can work on our hearts, Lord God, and You can break through that denial or whatever else is affecting us, Lord God, and come clean if we need to. I'm just so thankful, Lord, for Your love in providing. You provided for us, Lord God, through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I give You praise now. Amen.
Let's stand again this morning together. We're going to close by singing a song called Lord, I Need You. And I think this is a favorite song of a lot of us because it just brings everything to God and says, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need You. I need the power of Your Holy Spirit in my life.